Today is the day the Lord has made, and I'm thankful and glad within it. And these are the times, of course, God has made, and we have these unique responsibilities, but because of that, but also unique joys to visit with friends who are friends of Liberty, friends of the program, friends of mine. Glenn Morgan is one such person from WeTheGovern.com, has an amazing story. People like to hear about political hypocrisy. How about the Department of Ecology in Washington State, in Jay Inslee's Washington State, he or who pretends to have written the book or maybe wrote it or someone wrote it for him about this deep need to keep the earth clean and safe. How about his Department of Ecology having toxic waste on their own property? Glenn Morgan from We the Governed and the Citizens Alliance for Property Rights joins us. Glenn, welcome back to the program.
Todd, as always, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me on. And you're absolutely right. You cannot make this stuff up. Right in the front yard, the Department of Ecology, for the last several years, they've been growing one of the bigger toxic waste piles in really in the state, as far as I'm aware. And every employee who works there drove by it every single day, including the director. And not just them, but every single person in the Environmental Protection Agency, because they rent a floor in the same building, they drove by it. And so did everybody from the Washington State Conservation Commission, and so did everybody from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. They all share the same area, and they all came by this thing and watched it and grow and get worse. And not one of them even thought that it was worthwhile to stop and get out a pair of gloves and maybe even a garbage bag and try to clean up a little bit themselves. They just chose to ignore it.
I want you guys to get the visual aid on this. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. You'll be able to see the videos that Glenn has shot of this. And let's go through some of this, Glenn, because I looked at the video that you filmed, and it looked to me, I don't want to exaggerate. I don't think that's necessary.
Right. No, you can't, actually. No.
I would guess that, first of all, just trash. There's tons. There's tons of trash there.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll have to find out how much the cleaning crew, because after we did this, of course, they're sending cleaning crews, right? But they're hauling, it's weeks of work to clean it up. And so they're hauling out just massive tons of trash. But of course, it's much more than that.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned in my video, I documented open pit latrines, for example, that they had dug and that they were using. And the funny thing is that specific, the one I took a picture of there and I put in the video, you could actually see the people using it from the offices of Department of Ecology looking out their window. I mean, it's so not wait, like this.
You could watch people defecating.
Oh, right into a hole
in the ground.
Right. Yeah, and it was right next to their chop shop that they were running there in the woods, where they were cutting apart small engines, I think for recycling, because they can turn in the cast aluminum for metal, metal recycling and make money for meth. And they would dump the oil and the batteries and the fuel into the ground, and they would steal, or they'd steal the small engines, and they were chopping apart bikes there too. So the chop shop was right there too, also directly in view of the Department of Ecology offices. They could look right out their window and see it.
What's the name of the Department of Ecology head director?
It's Laura Watson, and she was appointed last year by Inslee. And I've kind of been a thorn in the side of this agency periodically. The former director that had been there, I got him in trouble with a lot of campaign finance violations a couple years ago. And another one that I exposed his emails when he was working as the chief of staff for Inslee a couple years ago. I can't remember his name, but I exposed him using profanity in his emails to other ecology employees when referring to Republicans. And so, and he resigned from Inslee staff shortly after that. So obviously that agency's always been one that I've been interested in. But what's funny about this really is that it was hard to imagine. And it wasn't just that. I mean, it was obviously piles of needles and garbage. They were burning garbage there, big piles of garbage that they were burning. And sometimes their fires got out of control. You could see where they scorched trees and all this. This is happening, I mean, right next to the Department of Ecology.
There's literally no way that they could miss this.
Oh,
and
no.
It's the Department of Ecology for Washington State. Did you say Fish and Wildlife?
In the same building as Department of Ecology is the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
The
that's
feds.
A federal agency. Yeah. that was actually created and modeled on Washington State's Department of Ecology in 1972. And then the Washington State Conservation Commission, they share that same building. Then right behind them is another building where U.S. Fish and Wildlife and actually U.S. Marine Fisheries are located. It's all the environmental groups in Washington State in one campus that they are so proud of. And they put their building, you know, on their website. They show like a little rainbow over it. You know, they Photoshop a rainbow in.
Right.
It's just they've let it go and turn their land into a toxic waste. What's funny is now that they're being exposed, their internal messaging about how they're trying to deal with this, because they don't care that the environment's been polluted. That what they don't want to do is have bad news about them. And so they're arguing it now internally. They're trying to say, well, that's not our property, right? It's not our property, but it is. It's state property. It's connected to their campus. They say it's managed by Department of Enterprise Services, which is true. But Enterprise Services manages all the state properties, including the Department of Ecology property. I mean, they're trying to say, well, it's not really toxic waste. It's just household waste. You know, they're trying to downplay the pollution and try to see if they can spin it to make it seem like it's not so bad. But here's what makes it worse. And I didn't realize this when I did my video. Just several hundred yards away, right, literally downhill, downstream from all this, is the primary well supplies. It's like a well system down there for all the water that's supplied to the St. Martin College, which is located right next door.
What?
All their students in their dorm rooms, the well heads are right there. You can't make this up.
So a college dorm's wellhead,
yep.
Did you say 200 yards downstream from people defecating in holes?
Right.
People dumping gasoline, battery oils. Acid.
And who knows what else? Yeah, meth labs. They were cooking meth in there. So whatever chemicals related to that were being dumped in the ground and whatever else is being dumped there. I mean, who knows? It's like a paleontology dig. The garbage is so deep, you're having to try to pull it all up, right? So who knows everything that's actually in there, but it's pretty bad.
How many acres is this? I've seen your video. It's really well done. Glenn Morgan is with us. WeTheGovern.com, Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. If you want the visual aid to this, and you do, trust me, you do. You want to see Jay Inslee's Washington State? You want to see how much Jay Inslee loves the college? You want to see how much Laura Watson, the director of the Department of Ecology, how much she loves the earth? Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. You'll see this. So it's a big, it's a big-ish campus. And this is not in the – people need to understand, this isn't in the middle of a city. This isn't a green belt.
Right.
So what would you estimate – what percentage of their property is covered with filth and garbage and toxic waste?
Boy, that's a good question. Of the green space that's located in front of them, I'd say 50% of it is.
50%?
At a minimum. And it goes right up to the edge of their parking lot, too.
You can see it from the parking lot?
Parking lot, from their offices. And every day they drove in, they had to see these. You could see, I took a photo and put it up, but it's a freeway, because to haul that much garbage back there and to run a chop shop and to do all the stuff that they were doing back there, they wiped out all the vegetation, right? Getting back in there, however the homeless druggies did it. And, you know, fencing operations, whatever they were running back there. And so every day these employees from this agency, all these agencies, had to drive right by this, and they did nothing. In and out. There's only one way in and out. They had to drive by it every single day, and they ignored it, and they couldn't miss the smoke and the garbage piles and all this stuff that was going on, and they literally did nothing. And this is particularly significant because this is the very agency that has gone after farmers and small landowners for the most ridiculous issues.
Okay, so I want to get to that. Because I want everybody to understand something. We've been talking about the flipping of society on the show. And sometimes it's very obvious. You know, the COVID flu, well, we need to release the felons. The COVID flu, we need to shut down the churches, but let the abortionists continue to operate. Right. The COVID flu, we need to shut down local gyms, but let's let the pot shops flourish. The COVID flu, you know, local hardware stores, the COVID will go in there, it'll kill all the kids and then murder families. But, you know, Lowe's and Home Depot, well, the COVID can't go in there. We've watched this flipping of society in multiple ways, and sometimes that's intentional. This doesn't even seem intentional. It just seems lazy, but these are the people who go after others,
right?
And they go after them in some heavy-handed ways. Glenn's going to remind us of a story he covered. I talked to these people years ago. Mm-hmm. You need to hear about this Department of Ecology, this filth, this waste on their land. This is the same Department of Ecology that wouldn't make themselves happy until a horse died. One horse, One horse. We'll get to that after we check traffic with Ray Traffic. Glenn Morgan's with us, best conservative activist in Washington State, WeTheGoverned.com, Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. Glenn has a blockbuster report. In a sane world, you would have requests for this footage from every single news station in Seattle. And from the Seattle Times, I'm going to predict we'll cover it.
Yep.
It will not make it on TV. They will shield Inslee. The Department of Ecology is just pelted within land around them with toxic waste and oil and battery acid and people cooking meth and cutting up bicycles and defecating holes in the ground in sight of employees, in sight of Laura Watson, the director, these environmental agencies back there. The Washington State Department of Ecology has been very heavy-handed. You had a great example of a family that they had two farm animals on a big property, right?
Right. They had a large, beautiful 3-acre pasture in north of Bellingham, up in Whatcom County, in an area that was agricultural. There were a lot of different pastures, small horse pastures, and there wasn't a stream anywhere near them. I mean, there was a stream maybe 650 yards away, if I remember right. And it clearly well-maintained property, and the Department of Ecology came after them, and it was a Cross family. And then 2016, I did the story. They came after the Cross family, and they said that even though they had never detected any pollution there, the Department of Ecology was going after them for the potential to pollute. And their one horse had the potential to pollute. They had never identified any pollution. They just said the potential to pollute was enough. And they were going after him, threatening litigation and harassing them. And the only thing that made the Department of Ecology stop at the time was the fact that the horse died. And then the ecology was happy and they moved on to the next property owner to harass. And it was ridiculous. I did the story then. I showed it's very well. That video is still well done, you know, very timely. And I'm contrasting that. And of course, they're just one example of hundreds. They did the same thing to Joe Lemire in Eastern Washington with his cattle, where they
talk
said
about that.
Yep, that was a case that went all the way to state Supreme Court, and the Department of Ecology said that his cattle had the potential to pollute, and therefore, even though they'd never proven any pollution, never documented any, never had any problems with it, they said that potential to pollute was enough for them to force him to do all kinds of things to his property. And a lower court judge in Eastern Washington said, no, we aren't going to accept that. But eventually the state Supreme Court said, well, that's okay. They can go ahead and fine him and harass him for that, for the potential to pollute. And
so the potential to pollute can cost people tens of thousands of dollars and court fees and changing their property, doing away with the way they earn a living from this Department of Ecology in fines. Same Department of Ecology that has no problem with what is effectively a toxic waste dump on their own property.
Right in their front yard that they all of them drove by day after day after day, year after year, growing, watching it from their offices, and they did literally nothing about it. And you know, it's also particularly ridiculous because literally right in their back parking lot, they have all these trailers and equipment and gear all lined up to deal with spills and clean up. And, you know, I mean, since they're just not being used, just sits there, you know.
And Glenn, if I'm not mistaken, this is the same Washington State. I'm not sure it's the same department. And folks, you got to understand this. This is life under the party. When we talk about the party, Washington State is owned and operated by the party. And the party, as I refer to it, is statist, leftist, technocrats, the party. Right. And Republicans, they play footsie with this, or they're part of this, or they get payoffs from this, or their businesses are protected. And so they're easy to roll on things like this. Life under the party, we also had an attack on well water. For a little while, the state succeeded in stealing the right of landowners to have drinking water on their property. Because that wasn't that also an environmental claim that had to go to the Supreme Court, and that I think the legislature had to step in and say, no, actually, when people live in rural areas, they get to drink water on their property. Right. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was the exempt well statute. And you're talking about the Hearst decision from a couple of years ago that basically came in and destroyed the exempt well rules that had been in Washington state history for a long, long time. I mean, really since statehood, the ability to actually put a well on your property and to use it. And so the Department of Ecology aggressively worked to remove the ability of people to have private wells. And last year, just a few months ago, they're litigating actively right now in Whatcom County against all the farmers up there. attempting to restrict their use of water on their own property for their farm operations. And yet this is the very agency that right now, you know, I mean, again, the hypocrisy is ridiculous. And it's not just here, and I reference this in my video, but it's they're ignoring massive multi-million gallon wastewater dumps of raw sewage in a Puget Sound. They do nothing to those, to the groups that are doing that. They don't even make a teeny bit of effort to try to do anything there, but they're happy to go after somebody that's a septic system 30 miles away from Puget Sound and claim that that septic system is going to potentially ruin the life of orcas. And so they can impose a fine on them. You know,
again, everybody dig this and understand the subtext, and I'll provide the subtext, what I see going on here. Glenn Morgan's with us, WeTheGovern.com. You do want to see these pictures of this insane hypocrisy on the Department of Ecology's property. In other words, on our property, on taxpayer property, these bureaucrats who go around and threaten and bully people and fine them for the potential to pollute. Right. No pollution, the potential to pollute. They're going after farmers, but not King County when they dump hundreds of millions of gallons of raw sewage into Puget Sound. They're going after property owners in rural areas who have septic systems. And if a septic system is correctly done, what is it, Glenn? 7 to 10 feet down, that water is drinkable. I mean, this is what we've done forever. They're going after them. They won't go after government agencies that have leaky pipes. They don't go after the city of Seattle. You remember this report, Glenn, that we were starting to see opioids in the fat layers of fish in Puget Sound. And that's coming from people urinating on the streets and defecating on the streets. That's completely ignored. So here's the subtext to this to me. Everything says they don't want people, unless they're super rich, living in these rural areas. Are they? Do you think they're trying to do away with the rural lifestyle?
Well, I think that that's part of it. But the other thing is, the truth is, the people that work there care far less about the environment than they do about their own image and the ability. The only green that they really care about is how big their budget's going to be next year. And, you know, if you walk into the Department of Ecology, and I used to do this occasionally when I'd go in their office and you look in their lobby and I'd hang out down there because I'm getting records or I'm doing something. And they have this display down there, all kinds of displays. And nowhere do they have anything that shows how much cleaner the environment's getting today, how much better the air is, the water, nothing like that. The only chart they had in their entire lobby was a chart that showed how many employees worked in the Department of Ecology and how much it was growing over the years. It was the only, it was literally the only chart. I took a photo of it because it was just such a classic way that bureaucracy just simply promotes itself and exists to promote itself. And, you know, if you look even at this Laura Watson, who they put as her appointed there, I mean, her degree has nothing to do with science or environment. Her degree is in philosophy and women's studies, which is really kind of a perfect background, really, to run the agency. And, you know, and this ecology has become the dumping ground for a lot of Evergreen State College graduates. And there's really no interest in dealing with the environment. The environment is being polluted within 20 minutes, not just in their front yard, which they can't miss, but even close other places. Just drive down the street a little ways, go to the Capitol, look at Camp Inslee, right? A landfill on the lake, or Percival Creek, where they're destroying a salmon habitat. Oh, and dumping raw sewage and waste right into the stream. And literally nothing is being done by these agencies. Not a single word. They don't say anything in their press releases. Their employees don't bother to go out there and try to clean it up. They don't even do volunteer service projects. They literally just let it get bad, but they are hell-bent on going after a person with a horse 5 acres back on the property because of the potential to pollute.
And I'm going to guarantee something. If we sent, if you and I were to organize people to wear protective gear and to, you know, go out and do a you know, steel-toed boots and protect yourself from needles and gloves and probably masks since there's human feces out there. Right. If we were to go clean that up as volunteers, take out a couple hundred volunteers, I will bet you, Glenn, we would have the state patrol and Capitol, you know, Capitol Police on us in 15 minutes.
They probably arrest you, and you know they certainly file a lawsuit against you, and see, that's the thing. Now, one of the things we're concerned about now is we recognize that here's the two agencies, EPA and the Department of Ecology, and we're asking them to do soil samples now, and we're demanding to do full spectrum water samples on these wells, right?
Yeah.
But these guys have the ability to possibly go in and falsify the data sets because they have political motivation now to pretend like there's no pollution,
Incredible.
And so or that it's nothing, right? And so now we're actually trying to consider, we might have to take some legal action to stop the spoliation or the effort for them to destroy all the evidence of the pollution in their front yard. And and that's really the situation we're in. And
that's it.
But you got to go after them. You know, that's you have to expose the truth.
You do. And Glenn does this so well. It's WeTheGovern.com. Do get the visual aid. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. You'll see the video. You'll see the pictures. And by the way, wherever you live, share this as much as you can, because folks, we can't say it enough. This is life under the party. Glenn, thanks for joining us on the Todd Herman Show, and go with God's good grace.
Todd, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. The big voice got it mostly right. It's not his fault he didn't get it all right, because we don't have time for him to say. You can also send me an email at therman@ktth.com, or to remind you to use a nickname when you write into the text line for the first time. That way we'll put it in the database. Well, I guess we could have had the big voice say that, but why when I can say it? Let's get to the emails. I knew this had happened. It always happens. when I even make a quick mention of the ridiculously named eSports, I get cascaded with responses from people, just like if I happen to mention in a toss-off way that I don't, you know, just a throwaway line, I don't consider golf to be a true sport. And I always preface these things by saying, it doesn't mean it doesn't take skill. It doesn't mean it's not a fun thing. It doesn't mean I don't have respect for you if you're a great golfer. People, and so let's just get to the emails, because they always come in this way. This is from Mark in Pasco, Washington. Dear Todd, I love your program. Listen every day. Stream you in my car through an app as I drive through little towns, always laughing about what's going on Spokane. On the topic of golf, I'd like to see you play 18 holes and tell me you're not tired. Love your program. Thanks for what you do, and stay safe. All right. Let's start with this one. I am not going to get tired walking on grass. I'm not. I'm not judging you if you get tired walking on grass. We're all different. I may get mentally tired. I probably would. Playing golf is not my thing. It would probably mentally tire me. If we were having fun conversation and hanging out with one another, I'd probably be enjoying that. So probably not tire me. But I promise you, with everything I am, I will not be made tired by walking on grass. It's just not going to happen, given the things that I do in my life. This, and people always, this is not bragging. I don't consider myself anything to brag about in terms of physical accomplishments. I don't. And my common routines are to not have routines in working out. That is, I try to train new things as often as I can. And the areas in which I do train on a somewhat regular basis involve doing trail runs for 45 minutes, wearing a 45-pound weight vest on my body, going up and down hills, across rocks, and through streams. So I promise you, I will not be getting tired playing 18 holes of golf. And by the way, again, guys, I can watch the game and marvel at it. It's not a sport, not a full sport. It's kind of a sport, and I'll explain that in a second. This is another very typical email I get from people. This is from Stacy in Miami, Florida. Todd, have you ever tried playing Halo for 3 days in a row? I challenge you to try it. You'll find out it's very much a sport. Okay, Stacy, I couldn't play Halo for 3 hours. I admit it. If you're asking me if I've stayed awake for 3 days, I have. It was horrible. It was awful. I was falling asleep like on my feet. It's awful. If you're really legitimately staying awake playing Halo for 3 days in a row, I'm going to bet it involves some form of chemical. Come on, Stacy. Or that maybe you have an addiction to the game. That's all I'm saying. Staying awake is not a sport. It's not. Now, these are my favorite sort of notes I get on this. This I like. Well, I like all of them. That sounds rude. That sounded so rude. I apologize. This is from Jane. Dear Todd, I'm intrigued that I've finally met the person who has a definition for what is and is not a sport. Please do tell. P.S. Please, as you constantly remind our so-called public health officials, apply to this some scientific rigor. Love your program. Jane from Seattle. All right, Jane. Here's my method for determining what is and is not a sport. Okay. It involves the 10 physical skills necessary for athletic endeavor. They are as follows: power, strength, balance, flexibility, speed, agility, coordination, accuracy, stamina, and cardiovascular or respiratory endurance. A sport can involve one of those if it's done in extremis. I'm not here to say that marathon running is not a sport. It's a sport because if it's extreme employment of stamina and cardiovascular endurance, it, however, is not an athletic pursuit. It is a sport. Okay? Here's why it's not an athletic pursuit. Marathon runners, and I have a friend of mine who runs ultra marathons. His name is Wes Rittner. He's insane. He's incredible. Distress tolerance, endurance, stamina. None of us listening to this could do 10% of what Wes does. He runs 129-mile races. I love watching his videos. I am astonished at what Wes can do. He's also, by the way, an Air Force vet. But the average marathon runner, guys, can't jump an inch off the ground and can't bench press their body weight, can't do a pull-up. So that's not to say they're not brilliant at what they do. They are. Golf uses two of those physical capabilities, accuracy and power, but not in extremis. Boom, you hit the ball. It's accurate and powerful. Then you walk to the next hole. That's not an extremis. So it is a, it's not an athletic endeavor. Certainly being athletic helps, but it's not an athletic endeavor. But both of those things cannot even be compared to the notion of an e-sport. You actually do those things. I can't even believe this needs to be said. You actually hit the ball. Like, you touch a stick and you hit the ball and then you propel your own body to the next hole. In the case of marathon running, you are propelling your own body 26 miles? Passing other runners or being passed? Esports don't exist. It's that simple. You are, look, I know. I got this email too. I got this from Kyle. Todd, I love your program. I'm one of the young conservatives. I agree with everything you say except esports. I dare you to try the esports boxing. Kyle, I've boxed. For real. I hated it. If folks, if you've ever been hit in the nose, do you know what? It'll flat freak some persons out. Getting hit in the beak hurts. It's a disconcerting feeling to be hit straight up in the beak. You feel like you're going to pass out. I hate being hit in the beak. I'm not going to get hit in the beak in a video game. There's no one hitting me. I have no risk of injury. There's no stakes. Right? See, the thing in the marathon is there's stakes. You can get seriously injured doing too much marathon running. You're not properly warmed up, etc. You can get seriously injured. You can seriously screw yourself up over time simply just by doing that. My friend Wes just about got et by a cougar. My dad loved to say that, et, because it sounds all country. He almost got eaten by a cougar. I've got the video. The cougar followed him for 13 miles. He was in Death Valley, California by himself. And the cougar was stalking him. In golf, you can sustain an injury. Like repetitive stress injuries is very much like doing assembly line work. What are you going to get in video game? Thumbs? Look, let me just please hear this. If you have taken the time necessary to study the video games and to play them, I can respect that. There's people who get paid for that. Great, you've developed a marketable skill. It does help with hand-eye coordination in some way, mental acuity, memory. I'm not saying it's not helpful. I admire my friend Wes, who's an ultra-marathoner. Great golfers, that you can hit the ball that accurate. I couldn't hit the ball and hit a lake. I get it. I could stand on the edge of a lake and swing a stick at a golf ball and not hit the lake. Doesn't mean they're all athletic pursuits. Can we still be friends? All right, we'll come back, wrap up the Todd Herman Show with a personal note next. I'll try to make this all up then. Let's check traffic. On a personal note today, I grew up in eastern Washington, northern Idaho, back in the day when there was a group back here called the Aryan Nations. And they were a very well-known racist group that I would consider actual neo-Nazis, in that they admired Adolf Hitler. They marched with stupid Nazi flags, and they were a presence back here. They would march through the streets of Coeur d'Alene, and their numbers seemed really large. And I grew up really afraid of them. Obviously, afraid differently than a black person would be, or what the left likes to call a person of color, because I would not be a target initially. Because obviously, I was white then, too. I was, in fact, whiter. My hair was blonder, although now it's gray. I had friends who had a... they had property on the border, right on the border of the Aryan Nations compound, right on their fence line. And when we were kids, we went out a couple times just to spy on them. And it was paramilitary. They would drive their property in these jeeps and watch the perimeters. And like, this is just a family who lives over here. And I can remember asking my friend's dad about those guys. He said, stay away from those guys. And my friend's dad was as old Idaho as you get. He was a mountain man, and he was, and when I say mountain man, I mean for real ability to, he could live anywhere. He had that ability, and he'd just stay away from those guys. And his wife was Native, full Native American, and she just said, I just pity him. So I grew up well aware of racism, and I was also well aware that they were very dangerous people. They were part of a movement that went, and one of them, you know, I think was connected to the murder of Alan Berg. If you've seen the movie Talk Radio, which is a very filthy mouth movie, but a really good one, written by a guy named Eric Bogosian. Eric Bogosian stars in that. It's the story of, well, part of the story of this talk show host, Alan Berg, although they don't say it's Berg. It's clearly Alan Berg that he's playing in the movie, right down to some of the phone calls. You'd be familiar with that story. So I'm not unaware of racism. I mean, it's never been my world. And I'm going to bet that my world is the same as your world. Yes, I've seen racism. I just described it. We're next door to the worst portions of it with my friends. I grew up with a father who was a social worker and a mother who was a teacher. Both of them very, very white. Both of them grew up in eastern Washington, northern Idaho. My mom grew up in North Idaho. She was like three generations of North Idahoan. The other family roots were Alaska and Canada. And Scotland and Germany. So in other words, if we want to play the race game, way back it went. I can remember my grandfather, way back white, when we would have friends come over who happened to be black at the lake cabin. I can remember my grandfather taking me aside and saying, now you remember, people have different color skin, but inside they're just like us. And obviously, that was something of value that was taught to my father, straight down to my father. I can remember my father very gentle man, unless he got super angry because a kid was getting abused. I can remember my dad talking about this. I can remember my mom talking about this. My mom talking about how she loved the different colors of people's skins. I bet you grew up the same way with these values. I can remember going to have dinner at this classmate of my father's when he was seeking his when he was pursuing his master's degree, which he did end up getting. It was a black family. I remember the husband's name was Glenn. I can't remember his wife's name. They just had little babies. I was a little kid. I'd never eaten dinner in a black person's house before. And they had some African art, as I recall. And Glenn had he dressed in sort of traditional ways sometimes. And I'm not going to pretend to know what the dress was. I just remember that it was very, very colorful and beautiful, and his wife made this terrific meal. But because it was a black person's house, I'd never eaten a black person's house. I'd never seen small shrimp before. I'd seen big shrimp. I'd never seen small shrimp. And they came out on the salad, and I remember seeing that, my mom whispering to her, "They eat worms." And my mom, "These are not worms." She stated out front, "These are not worms, honey. This is shrimp." And I remember Glenn and his wife laughing about that. And probably in the back of their mind, it was, yeah, this kid, he's probably never been to a black person's house before. He grew up in Spokane. How would he have been to a black person's house? So when I see videos that want to focus on my parents' generation, and I see critical race theory saying it's just been this racist country forever, I grew up around neo-Nazis. They were in the backyard of my friend's house. We considered them lunatics then. I consider them lunatics now. My experience of America is something far different. And I'm betting yours is as well. And I bet this video I saw will mimic your experience. It's a dramatic example of what America really is. With respect to the pockets of madness, the increasing racism of the left, the increasing anti-Semitism of the left, their successful attempt to ignite a cold race war, which is what they're seeking, there's real America. Showed this to my wife the other day, this past weekend. Let me describe to you what you're going to hear in this video. You're going to see a group of strangers stop with an overturned SUV in a river. It's upside down. You're going to see a group of men struggling to save two siblings, two little babies, below 6 months old, one of them, wrapped in her car seat, in an upside-down SUV in a riverbed with the river water running through it. So roll the audio, then I'll tell you what else you're seeing. So you'll hear men in there saying, "I need help, I need help." You'll hear men saying, "Open this and push that." And what you will observe is a group of white redneck men, is how they would be referred to. That's how they'd be referred to. You'll see a black dude in a do-rag. That's how people, he's a black dude, and that's a do-rag. And you'd see the white redneck men in their plaid shirts and red hats and ball caps doing the same thing as the black dude in the white t-shirt with the black do-rag trying to get the babies out. You'd see the black man in the do-rag, they'd say, with a tire wrench in his hand, cranking open the door. At one point, you'll hear a black man, or you'll hear a man saying, "I need blank and help. He's carrying a passed out white infant. I need help." You'll see behind him that black dude in the do-rag and the white t-shirt put his hand up to stabilize the back of that white redneck,
to help push him up the riverbed so he doesn't fall over and drop that little baby. And you will hear the voice of a woman say, "Lord Jesus, give that baby breath."
Oh my God!
Give me the baby! Give me the baby!
Hey, hey, hey.
Give me the baby!
I need help!
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 Give me the baby!
Give me the baby!
She's talking! Help me move the car seat!
In the name of Jesus,
Lord! Hey, hey, hey.
I hate what the left is doing in igniting this cold race war, and I refuse to admit that just because I'm white, I don't know what racism is. I grew up around it, and it was decried then, and it's decried now. See you in a bit on the EIB Network. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. live on the Pacific Coast and on podcasts everywhere. Now, go be well, be strong, and be kind.